Hi, I'm Scott Hansman. It is Azure Friday. I'm here with my boss, Scott Hunter. We're talking all about Azure App Service. We've talked about logic apps, we've talked about mobile apps and web apps, but today we're going to talk about API apps.
Right.
Big fundamental part. It makes it all go around here in Azure App Service.
Yeah, think of API apps as, we have web APIs today. Mm-hmm. You know, we, as part of the ASP.NET team, we started building web APIs a couple years ago. But think of this as APIs with a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you've seen the logic app video, mm-hmm. You saw how Josh was able to bring up a workflow designer and a whole variety of actions showed up on the right side of the screen. Things like a Twilio connector and a Salesforce connector and an Office 365 connector. Well, all of those are technically API apps.
So those are all web APIs that
those are web APIs. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter what language they're written in, you know, and you, when you talked about web apps earlier, you talked about, hey, web, you know, web supports .NET, supports Node, PHP, Python, Java, mm-hmm. all those languages. So an API app can be written in any of those languages. Mm-hmm. But what makes an API app a little different is we bring up a little bit of metadata. So we're using a metadata format called Swagger. Mm-hmm. And it's a, we kind of went out and looked at all the metadata formats. There's one called Waddle, there's one called Swagger. There's a whole bunch of these things. And we kind of looked, and Swagger seemed like it was the most popular one at the time. And so an API app is an API that also potentially at least has a definition of its APIs in Swagger. Mm-hmm. Or if you're using ASP.NET, there's actually some cool libraries you can actually inject in your application that'll automatically do Swagger for you. And that's what we do. Mm-hmm. Because we have metadata, it means that something like a logic app can look at this API and give you the actions to actually call on it.
Mm-hmm. So these API apps present their metadata out to any language.
Yes.
We speak JSON all internally. I can consume these from mobile apps, from logic apps, from web apps, from Node or Ruby or
anything.
.NET or whatever. Okay.
And so, you know, as I said, so a logic app can consume this, mm-hmm. but we actually have tooling inside of Visual Studio as well that can also read that same Swagger mm-hmm. and generate you a client from Visual Studio.
Oh,
so it
okay.
makes it very easy to call the API from Visual Studio.
So the SDKs are strongly typed SDKs that are being generated from those API
yes,
apps.
Yes, if you want. You're welcome to call the API manually just using HP client or something mm-hmm. like that, but if you want, you can actually have us generate a client for you. So that's one aspect of what API apps are. Mm-hmm. Another one is packaging. So when I build an API app, I actually create the equivalent of a NuGet package for the API. Now, why that's important is I can then upload that package to a marketplace, just like the NuGet gallery is today. And so it means if a developer wants to pick up and use the API, they just click it right from the marketplace and we'll install that API in their subscription.
So I actually have some existing web APIs that I could turn into API apps and put them into the marketplace.
And somebody could consume them in their own applications. Another cool aspect of being packaged, well, NuGets are versioned, right? Mm-hmm. You can have version 1 of a NuGet package, version 1.0.0.1 of a NuGet package, and so on. Well, because we have this versioning, and I'll show this in the portal a little bit, we can actually let you turn on the ability to auto-update your API application.
So ordinarily, I have to do that on the client side and pull that. Because we are controlling the server, we can do it on the server side.
Right. So imagine today what you do is, hey, this API changed. I'm going to go out to the website, download the new API, recompile it,
yeah.
and republish it to my site.
Yep, been there.
What if you could just turn on auto-update on and say if a minor version happens, your app never stops running. It just suddenly pulls the new version of the API down and starts going with it.
So auto-updating with important patches based on a policy that I control.
Exactly.
Very cool.
And then another aspect of API apps that's pretty cool is authentication. So I don't know if you've ever tried to call something like Twitter or Facebook
sure.
yourself. That requires an OAuth dance mm-hmm. because there's a security protocol required to actually authenticate with those
yep,
things.
You always got to make sure you get the right token and make sure it's always included.
So that means you have to have a callback URI, you've got to give them a URL that they can call to pass the token to you and stuff like that. Another aspect of API apps is we want to hide that. Mm. We want the platform to do that for you. And so in the case of an API app, you'll go and install, say, the Twitter connector from the marketplace, mm-hmm. and then you'll go to the Blade for that connector. You'll put in your API key, which is your authentication, and then you just call it. And we do the OAuth dance for you, and you don't have to worry about that.
That's nice, because sometimes right now when I'm doing web APIs, it feels like about 50% of my time is spent messing around with
all the
tokens.
Security and tokens and stuff like that. So let's try a couple demos here.
All right.
So I'm going to create a contact API.
Okay.
So I'm going to click here and say OK. And you'll see something new shows up in the dialog. We have an Azure API app. Mm-hmm. I could easily also just do a web API app, because we have a right-click action that will upgrade any API app Web API to a API app.
And I understand that that's very simple. It really is a web API, except it has some additional metadata, like you said.
Exactly. So let's create this API app. And once it's created, I'm going to look into this and show a few things. So first off, this is just a web API project. The only thing different here is I now have this apiapp.json file. And you'll notice that it has a lot of information that looks very similar to what you would have in a NuGet package.
It does.
It's got a namespace, it's got a version, a title, a summary, an author. Now, what I could do here is I could actually define the Swagger right in this file if I have a legacy thing that doesn't know how to generate a Swagger file for me. But we actually automatically went and installed a package called Swashbuckle. And Swashbuckle uses the same APIs that Web API uses internally to build the help pages to build a Swagger file.
Right, it introspects over the API and presents that information.
And so you'll notice here I've got an API definition that points to WAC Swagger, WAC Docs, WAC V1. So what that means, that's telling the runtime, go to this URL in the running application and you can get the metadata.
And that's a great open source component from a community member.
Yes, it sure is. So let's go and do something here. So let's go in the model folder here. Let's add a new class. And what I'll do is I'll call it contact. And I'll just wipe this out. I wrote a couple of things to help us here.
Yep.
So this simple contact is an ID and a name.
Sure.
And then let's go look at my controller. It's a regular web API, so we put a default value controller in for you. I'm going to just delete that guy.
All right.
And let's add a controller. And we'll just do an empty controller here. And we'll call it the contact controller. And so there I've got my blank controller. And once again, I kind of wrote a snippet to help with this as well.
Okay.
I'd have done that. So here's my controller. Let's go add the API to it. Okay, and all this is an enumerable that returns a get on the contact. We just resolve this, and we're good to go. We should compile, and we run. Let's just run this and show that it's just a regular, you know, API app.
Right.
So I can come here, API slash contact. There you go. We have data. So the only thing different in this app is I've got this one API app.json file. So let's now go here, right click, and we'll do a publish. And you'll notice there's a new item that shows up here, and that's the Azure API app. So I'm going to go here, and I could select an existing one if I wanted to overwrite one, or I can say I'll create a new one. So we'll just call this contact API, select my Azure subscription. I need a hosting plan. I've got a demo group. We're going to say this API is available to everybody. I've got a couple of choices here. One is it can be public to authenticated users, and it could be only available to other things inside of my resource group.
That's convenient.
And so if I have a website and I want to build an API and take advantage of all these features but not make it publicly available, I can do that. If I want to make it flat out public, I can. Or if I want to protect it with Azure Active Directory, you know, Twitter, Google, Facebook, all the social apps, I can do that. So let's just make it available to everybody and publish to South Central. And so note, it says, your Azure API app is being created in Azure, and check back. So let's watch here, and you're going to see a variety of things coming up here.
Now it says creating a gateway and the API app, because these are managed APIs, right? So this is living in Azure. It's not just a website. This is part of the entire family of things that an Azure service app has.
Yes. The gateway is technically what's doing the OAuth dance for you. So we're actually sitting your API behind what we call a gateway, and that gateway is the gateway that does all the security. So if I say it's available to the public, then anybody can get to the gateway. If I say your app requires Azure Active Directory to access it, well, the gateway is going to do the Azure Active Directory dance with the client that's calling.
So to be clear, your application here that really just returns two contacts, it's a really basic JSON-based web API, is going to get free auth.
Yes.
Automatically. And then presumably all the other things that come, like API management and all the other things that one who is putting a public web API wants to have but doesn't have to think about in the code.
Right. In the long run, that's our plan, is to actually enable all the API management features for these. So for example, today we don't have those. But at some point, I'm going to give you a few of those for by default, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give you an upgrade button that says, hey, I want full API management. I want to be able to change the way the API looks. I want to change the formats that it returns. I want to do rate limiting. I want to have,
you without know, doing any code changes.
Without doing any code changes.
You're returning JSON here. I could have you return XML or do whatever you like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to Visual Studio here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're now published. Mm-hmm. And so now let's go to the portal and see what this looks like. So I'm going to jump over here. Here's my resource group. And in my resource group, you see something new here. You see this list of what we call API apps. And it's showing that I've got one right here. So I'm going to click on that. And the blade's a little bit different. It's got this click for a API definition. And if I click this, you're going to see that it's going to show the API that we just wrote. So API slash contact is the API that we've written. So the metadata has been formed up, pushed mm-hmm. up to the portal. I can even download the metadata right here. Mm-hmm. So if you look at this, we've got API contact, mm-hmm. which is the API, and we've got this download button for downloading the Swagger. So you mm-hmm. might have tools that consume Swagger. There's actually a lot of tools that consume Swagger today. Mm-hmm. You'll find if you look, there's a ton of tools that will generate wrappers for Node and PHP. And of course, we've written our own for Visual Studio. So let's.
And this is a really interesting reminder here. The fact that the operation is listed out there, like this, Azure knows about these things. API apps are smart. They have internal, intrinsic knowledge about what an API app is.
Right. And that means like a logic app can then read the same information and show up on a card with a drop-down list of what you can actually do with this.
Interesting.
So let's jump back out. And I'm going to go back to my project in Visual Studio. And let's add a console app to this. And what we'll do is we'll actually call this thing. So here's my console project. And then check this out. There is a new, if I come to add here, mm-hmm. and you'll notice that there's this new Azure API client. See this? And what this is the tool that we have in Visual Studio that lets us actually go and pull this. So let me select that. And now you see that I have this dialog asking me to select my API.
Ah.
So I'll challenge you, Scott. What do we call this?
Contact API. It was in the demo group.
And it's asking what the namespace is for this. Mm-hmm. And I'll click OK. And you can see it comes up and says it's downloading the metadata. And boom, I'm ready to go. So once again, I wrote a little snippet that we can run here. And you'll see that to call this, I just knew up a client. I call client.contact.get, that get operation on it. And then I get my contacts back in the response for that. And then I just write a for loop over it. So calling that API mm-hmm. would normally require you to write, 10 or 12 lines of HTTP client to do that?
Right.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to make the console app the default project. Start a project. I will run this. And you see that it went out, called our API, returned it. So now I can write APIs. Because I put metadata on them, it makes them super easy to call.
And to be clear, that's not just a web API that's been put into Azure. That is a fully managed API with auth and API management and all the trimmings that one gets when they are a managed API.
Right. So let's show one more thing. If I go to the portal, I can go to the marketplace here. And inside this marketplace, I can click API apps. Mm-hmm. And you see all these API apps.
These are from partners all over, from Twitter to Office 365. You've got Salesforce in there. You've got OCR.
Exactly.
QuickBooks, a bunch of stuff.
And so the idea is we have a whole gallery of these things that we've already built. Mm-hmm. So the BizTalk team has gone out and built a ton of these things. And these are basically API apps that you easily connect to, as you said, Twitter, Twilio, Salesforce, a variety of things. Now, the cool thing, as I was saying before, is we have a gallery of these things. You can make your own. You can publish up here as well. Mm-hmm. In the future, we plan to let you actually be able to monetize as well, like even sell your API up here.
Ah.
So that'll be a pretty cool story. So let's show one more piece of code. This is a richer app that I have. And this actually calls one of those API apps we just showed. This shows calling Salesforce. Mm-hmm. So let's talk through this. First off, where's the auth?
I don't see HTTP client.current. I don't see any cookies. It's magically flowing through the system.
Exactly. So what happens here is I create a new API, a new app service client. Mm-hmm. That's the SDK for API apps.
Right.
Then I take my current user in MVC, which has my tokens. I'm logged into, in this case, I'm logged into my MVC application with Office 365.
Right.
That credential flows into here. And then I tell the client to generate me an API app client for Salesforce, the endpoint for Salesforce.
And the current user has already been set. So all of the complexities of auth and authentication has been wrapped up into this.
One line of code.
And it is now flowing through the client.
Right. So I now get this client. And Salesforce is a non-structured API, meaning that it's not full of rich clients and stuff like that. You have to actually just make queries to it. I build up a select clause, and then I call the API directly.
I see. So this isn't inline SQL. It's special Salesforce SQL. I see.
And then I call the API directly. Mm-hmm. And all the auth is done for you.
And the model that you're using to call this app service client, in this case, you're calling Salesforce, which is not a Microsoft thing. And down here, you're calling Office, which is a Microsoft thing, but the experience on how to call those is the same.
Is exactly the same. In fact, in the Office case, I'm actually using the Office 365 SDK. So instead of actually using the wrapper that I can generate via Visual Studio, in this case, Office already has an SDK, and so I take the same auth and I use it to call their SDK.
So you can get a slightly richer client, or you can get the one that's generated for you from the Swagger.
Or you can call it raw, just like you're seeing here in Salesforce.
Indeed.
So we offer all three of those paths. They all work the same. The auth's taken care of for you.
So even with raw ones, you get that convenience of the headers being managed.
Exactly. And so I think that is what API apps are.
That's pretty cool. So this is the base on which you will build all of the great stuff that you hopefully will build very soon with Azure App Services. Hey, it's Azure Friday.